the final battle for Aleppo in Syria may have begun.
It really is horrific, really, to be honest. I mean, we haven't seen this volume of attacks since the war began in a single day.
That's Juliet Tuma, regional spokesman for UNICEF, speaking to reporters on Monday about airstrikes in northern Syria that have destroyed healthcare facilities and schools, produced tens of thousands of refugees. A Doctors Without Borders hospital has been destroyed. 50 civilians have been killed. The attacks are happening in a window negotiated as part of a ceasefire, recently brokered by Secretary of State John Kerry and Russian Foreign Minister Sergei Lavrov, a ceasefire supposed to take effect at the end of the week, long window. Senator John McCain says the Russians are just using this week-long window to take advantage of the ceasefire deal.
Mr. Putin is not interested in being our partner. He wants to shore up the Assad regime. He wants to reestablish Russia as a major power in the Middle East. He wants to use Syria as a live fire exercise for Russia's modernizing military.
But in the confused open season military environment in Syria right now, it has been difficult to confirm the source of these latest attacks. Russia has been blamed, though that has yet to be confirmed, and the Russians are denying it. But there's no doubt that aid convoys promised in the ceasefire agreement have yet to arrive in Syria. Robert Ford served as U.S. ambassador to Syria from 2011 to 2014. He's also a fellow at the Middle East Institute in Washington. Ambassador Ford, what do you make of this entire situation and this week-long window that has produced this escalation right after the ceasefire talks in Munich?
The Russians have been escalating their military operations in Syria for many weeks now, so they're just on a current escalation track. They have been explicit. They have been explicit that even after the so-called ceasefire were to come into effect, they will continue to bomb what they call our terrorists. And they say that any armed group in the Aleppo area, any armed group fighting the Syrian government, are terrorists. So it's hard to see how there's going to be a cessation to Russian airstrikes. And therefore, it's hard to see how there's going to be a ceasefire.
I don't understand what the U.S. tactical approach would be here, because Putin seems to be saying explicitly or implicitly that the way to fight ISIS is to reestablish the Assad government. Once we do that, then we'll go after ISIS. That violates a principle that the Obama administration has already said, that we want some kind of regime change in Damascus. And then what of all these other opposition groups that were supposed to be arming and sending money to? If you listen to the Republican candidates, we've spent billions on people that now the Russians are going to destroy from airstrikes.
I'm not sure we've spent billions, but we certainly have provided arms and assistance to a few of the armed groups, including some that the Russians are now bombing in northern Syria. But we need to understand what the Russians want. What the Russians want is for the armed opposition to surrender to Bashar al-Assad's government. That's what they want. They have focused somewhere between 70 and 80% of their airstrikes not on the Islamic State, but rather on other rebel opposition groups. So the Russian target is clear. They want to get the armed opposition to quit the battle, to either surrender or just go away, go back into Turkey or something.
Is it possible that this is a decent strategy? I mean, nothing has worked so far against ISIS that the U.S. and the coalition has attempted to do. Maybe, shifting gears and restoring Assad is the best way to fight ISIS.
I don't think the Syrian opposition is ever going to surrender. And we've had now 4 years where Bashar al-Assad could have mobilized enough Syrians to go fight the Islamic State, and he has failed to do so. He doesn't have enough people fighting for him. That's why Iran is organizing Shia militias from places like Iraq and Afghan refugee camps to go fight for Assad on the Syrian battlefield. Assad does not really have enough troops, doesn't have enough Syrian troops to go fight the Islamic State. So consolidating Bashar al-Assad in Damascus is one thing. Having enough troops to go fight the Islamic State is a different thing.
I don't know if you looked at the latest National Geographic magazine, but there are these outrageous pictures of the paradise that the Kurds have created in Erbil and in northern Iraq. And, of course, they're fighting, the Peshmerga is fighting in Syria to try to do the same thing in the Kurdish-controlled territories in Syria. Do the Kurds have the aspiration to create a kind of walled-off Kurdistan that would be basically separate from all of this other turmoil? Can they actually accomplish something like that?
Syrian Kurds, whom I've met over the years, look at the Kurdish experience in northern Iraq as a very positive experience. And I think they would like to create a similar autonomous zone. Iraqi Kurds are not fully independent, but let's say they're 85% independent. And I think Syrian Kurds on the Syrian side of the border up there in northeastern Syria, they too would like to be largely autonomous. Problem is that unlike Iraqi Kurdistan, the Syrian Kurdish areas are very heterogeneous. There are a lot of Arab tribes mixed in. There are a lot of Turkmen tribes mixed in. Even ancient Christian communities, Assyrian communities. It's not as homogeneous as it is on the Iraqi side of the border. And therefore, Syrian Kurds trying to set this up unilaterally without negotiating it with the other communities that live there with them is bound to cause ethnic and sectarian frictions.
Could that bring Turkey into a war that would have the Russians, a coalition, and now the Turks also trying to benefit the Sunnis inside Syria and fight ISIS or even support ISIS? We don't know what the Turks are up to.
Well, I don't think the Turks are supporting the Islamic State any longer. The Islamic State has carried out a number of terrorist operations inside Turkey and killed literally dozens and dozens of people in bombing attacks. So, but the Turks view the Kurdish issue as one that touches on their territorial integrity. That is to say, their literally their borders. They don't want Turkish Kurdish communities to link up politically with Syrian Kurdish communities. And so the Turks will be very involved in Syria, and they will be very careful about what the Syrian Kurds do.
Helping us to decipher the complex situation in Syria. Robert Ford, thank you so much.
My pleasure.
Ambassador Robert Ford is a former U.S. ambassador to Syria and a fellow at the Middle East Institute in Washington.
On Notes from America, we have conversations with people across the country about how we can truly become the nation that we claim to be. Each week, we talk about race, our politics, education, relationships, usually all of them, because everything's connected. And you, our listeners, are at the center of those conversations. I'm Kai Wright. Join me on Notes from America, wherever you get your podcasts.